felt like it is a six. Defense is retreating quick. No, I got that cannon on me and receivers on the whim. Welcome pressure, where's the blitz? Not afraid to take the risk. Swear to God, I hate to lose, but winning is my favorite shit. Swear that I was built just for survival. No Deontay, but I'm wilder. Slick as Murray's worth the collar. They can't keep up with my mileage. They like where he go to college. They say get him, yeah, I got him. Heat him up, yeah, I'ma hot him. Like I'm manning in a pocket. I drop back and then I lob it.
What's up, what's up, what's up? You know who it is. I've been gone for a minute, but I'm back around. Listen, man, we've been gone for a long ass time. It's been a while. It's been a while, but we about to get things back cracking, about to get things back popping on YouTube and everything. Your boy been busy. You know, he been doing some other things, still been doing some sports media stuff, you know, talking sports and everything. But we about to get Drop Balls Podcast back cracking. Like I said, been gone for a minute, but I'm back around. Listen, Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics, Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney, NFL draft, WNBA draft. We won't be talking about that today because, you know, that already happened. You know, that already happened. I feel like I'm a little late on that. But we're going to get into some things, man. We're going to get into some things today. But let's start off. I'm watching this Celtics-Miami game right now. So we're going to start off with that. I'm watching this game, man, and Miami just looks – I'm not even going to say they look like they are outclassed or outmanned. Well, they are outmanned. I'm not going to say they aren't. They are outmanned because, of course, Jimmy Butler isn't playing. But from what I've been seeing, what I've been looking at watching this game, yeah, we're getting out-rebounded. But to me, the biggest factor of this, the three-point shooting. As of right now, as I'm watching this game with 31 seconds left in the third quarter, the Celtics are shooting 42.9% from three. The Heat are shooting a measly 18.5%. Now, if you remember the play-in game versus the Bulls, the Heat couldn't miss from three. The Heat was lighting it up. They were lighting it up from three. They were shooting 42.4% from three, just lighting it up. It seems like they used all their three-point shooting in that game. I ain't gonna hold you. But in this game, the Celtics are getting right at us. They shooting the three ball very well. It doesn't matter who shoots it, to be honest. It doesn't really matter who's shooting it. They're still shooting it at a high clip. What you got? You got Porzingis 4-for-7, Jrue Holiday 2-for-4, Derrick White 2-for-6, Brown 3-for-5, Sam Hauser 4-for-6, Peyton Pritchard 2-for-4. Like, they're shooting the three ball at a very high clip right now. And all of their starters, pretty much all of their starters have double digits besides Jrue Holiday. So they're doing their thing. They're beating the hell out of us, 89-57. But, I mean, like I said it on Twitter today, I was like, you know, the Heat could very well win this game, but I just don't think we were. I didn't think we were. Not having Jimmy Butler hurts for sure, but getting your ass beat by 30 points game one is atrocious. It's atrocious. The point spread was, what, 14.5? They cleared that twice. They cleared that twice. Now, the game ain't over. I mean, they could very well close this gap, but it just ain't looking good. 57 points through three quarters is terrible. And we already know the Heat can't score in the third quarter. They don't do good in third quarters. They scored 12 points this third quarter. The Heat just do not do good in third quarters. And that's where the game was. That's where you needed to start making your runs. They made a little run in the third. They looked like they were fighting back, but then, you know, it became too much. And it doesn't take anything away from the Celtics defense. I think their defense was good. But it's just one of those things where I don't think necessarily it was their defense, because we were getting open shots. We just weren't making them. We were getting open looks. The shots weren't falling. So, I mean, you know, they got to go back into the lab and figure that out. Also, I know sometimes Spo likes to, you know, use things as a fill-out game, use the game one as the fill-out game or whatever, and see how things are going to go. And then he makes his adjustments. So I'm interested to see what he adjusts. The next game, you know, he was in his 2-3 zone again, and they kind of just shot us out of it. So now I want to see how Spo adjusts going forward and what he can do for game two, which game two is on, when is it? The 24th. So what, Wednesday? Damn, hold on. Nah, game two can't, damn, yeah. Game two is on Wednesday. So we'll see what Spo can do to adjust to that game two, and so we'll see where we go from here. Now, you know, that's not a heavyweight fight. Last night wasn't a heavyweight fight either. But two World class boxers, two big name boxers, got it on last night in the ring. No Diddy. got it in last night in the ring. Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, man. To me, it was a really good fight. It was more entertaining than I initially thought it was going to be. And I honestly thought Devin Haney was going to come away and he was going to win this fight. But ultimately, he didn't. Ryan Garcia knocked him down three times. And he came away with the victory. Now, what I will say and what I've been arguing with people on Twitter damn near since the fight ended, I do not think that – I don't think Garcia washed Devin Haney. I think the fight was – I think what this fight was that Ryan Garcia – people look at it and say, oh, well, Haney got knocked down three times, as if boxing isn't more than that. Like, boxing is way more than just, you know, getting a knockdown or whatever. And, yes, it helps you on the scorecard. But there's things that happen in between those rounds that Devin Haney got knocked down that people just – it just seems like people are just throwing away. Like, round one, Devin got cracked within the first minute. He survived round one. Round two, he came out more aggressive and everything. And he came out with a game plan, with an adjustment to his game plan. He was fighting behind his jab. Really, between from round two through six, Haney was fighting behind his jab. He was stepping over to his right to kind of counter that Ryan Garcia's left hook and kind of smother it. So when Ryan threw it, like, it really wasn't that effective because he couldn't really get all the power behind it. And even then, he would jab and then pull back. So that way, when Ryan threw that hook, he was just swinging at air. Or he would jab and then duck under. So again, when Ryan threw the hook, he was just swinging at air. After that, it seemed like Devin kind of got away from that game plan around seven, and that's when he got the first knockdown. Or that's when Ryan got the first knockdown. And Devin survived. Now, granted, you know, a lot of people are saying it should have been more than one knockdown because Devin was falling forward, all this and all that. The fight probably should have been stopped or whatever. But the thing is, when you are a championship fighter, when you have a belt, the refs kind of give you the benefit of the doubt. They give you the benefit of the doubt, and they let you kind of not go out on your shield, but they let you kind of regroup and regather yourself because, again, you get the benefit of the doubt because you're the champion. You're the champ. So I feel like that's what happened with Devin. He got the benefit of the doubt in that round seven. He came back. Round eight, I thought he won. Round nine, I also thought he won. And then 10 through 12, really, it seemed like Ryan controlled the fight. Ryan got two knockdowns, one knockdown in round 10, one knockdown in round 11. And then round 12, even though Ryan was dancing and showboating towards the end, after rewatching the 12th round, it seems like, you know, Ryan won that round. Round eight, I do think you could give to either Ryan or Haney. I don't know if I said Tank earlier. I might have said that, and I didn't mean that. I meant Haney. But I don't know if you could give the round to either Haney or Ryan Garcia, and I think that's fine. Like, I wouldn't be mad if you gave it to either or. But for me, I can see where someone could score the fight 112 to 112, even, yes, with the three knockdowns. Because you have to remember, Ryan did get a point deduction in round seven. So that round was a 9-8 round. Ryan got, round seven was 9-8. Rounds 10 and 11 were 10-8. Round one was 10-9, all in favor of Ryan. So really, those four rounds straight, you could give Ryan. Now, if you gave him round 8, that's a 10-9 round. You gave him round 12, that's a 10-9 round. So you could give him three, or what is it? I guess that's, what, seven rounds? Because, what, he won three by knockdown, then he won three other. Oh, yeah, so six rounds. So you could give him six rounds. I could understand that. My issue was the scorecard that had 115-109 and the scorecard that had 114-110. I saw it more so 112-112 or 113-111 in favor of Ryan, but I could also see it 113-111 in favor of Devin. I think that's where that fight was. I don't think it was just a wash. I don't think it was just where Garcia just straight up washed Haney. I mean, I get the knockdowns. And my thing is that from rounds two through six, if Devin Haney had power, if he had enough power, I should say, I'm not going to say he doesn't have power, but if he had enough power, like if he had tank level power, I think he would have got Ryan Garcia out of there because he was tagging Ryan, but it just wasn't doing anything. And in those rounds, and that's another thing, in between some of those rounds with the knockdowns, Ryan kind of looked really timid and really hesitant. And I don't know if that was just his game plan or what, but he looked really timid, really hesitant. So, I mean, I don't really know, I can't say he watched him, but I can say he put up a really good fight and he got the victory. I'm not mad at Ryan getting the victory. I think it's well-deserved. But I think some of those scorecards were very atrocious. Like I said, 113, 111, I'm all for it. I'm right there with you. But anything beyond that, I'm questioning what were you looking at? What were you watching? I'm really questioning it. I could see Ryan having six rounds. I could see you giving Ryan six rounds. I can't see anything beyond that. I can't see seven, eight rounds. I just can't. And I think the 115, 109, they gave Ryan round one and then gave him round 6 through 12. I can't get behind that, bro. I just can't. It don't make sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, moving forward, Ryan Garcia, he said he wanted to go up to 147. Now, I think there's some good fights for him there. But I think the people he want to fight, he shouldn't be fighting right now. I think Ryan is a average to above average fighter. But I think with him, there's still a lot of stuff that he has to work on. His footwork still isn't good. His defense isn't really that good either. But the equalizer for him is his power. But I think when you meet a boxer that has power and skill, that's where you see Ryan will get his ass beat. I mean, when he saw Tank, and I get it, the rehydration stuff against Tank and him having to, you know, make the weight and everything at 135 and all of that, whatever. I get it. I get he had to drain himself. But my thing is that for me, it's like you knew what you had to do. You stepped in that ring. You did what you had to do in training. You stepped in that ring and you, even though you had to drain yourself, you still went out there and fought. So I don't want to hear the excuse that, oh, I was drained or, you know, this, that, and the third. But my thing is that when he meets a boxer with skill and power, that hurts him. That's not going to be good, kind for him. But he can go out there, and I think he could beat a Mario Barrios at 147. Conor Benn might be a good fight at 147 for him. But as of right now, stay away from Boots, stay away from Bud, stay away from Errol. I understand Bud and Errol might be moving up anyway, but you need to stay away from those three guys. As of right now, as it currently sits, you stay away from them at 147. You do not fight them at 147. I'm sorry. I mean, I get it. Ryan wants to make these good fights, these big fights or whatever. He's not ready for it. Their skill level is way above anything Ryan can imagine right now. In my opinion, that's just my opinion. Their skill level is way above what he can handle at this point. And they have power. And Bud got power in both hands. Bud will beat your ass with both hands. So, yeah, you got to stay away from them. But I think Mario Barrios would be a good – I think that'll be a good introduction fight to the 147 weight class. I think Conor Benn will probably be a good second fight for him. There's some other ones out there that I think they could make. But now where does Haney go? Does Haney stay at 140? Because even then, I mean, Haney kind of looked drained on the scale. And that's not an excuse, you know, going into that fight. But he kind of looked like he had to drain himself going into that fight, where he looked a lot smaller in that fight. I think one of the guys on Twitter last night when we was in the spaces had brought it up how he looked bigger when he went and fought Regis. When he was fighting against Regis, he looked a little bit bigger. No, did he? But he looked bigger in the ring. So that could be a thing where maybe at this point he has to move up again, which is crazy because he just moved up to 140. But maybe at this point it's time for him to move up to welterweight and go up to 147. That could be a possibility for Devin as well. And I mean, maybe we get a rematch between him and Ryan at 147. I mean, as of right now, Ryan is 4-3 against Devin Haney. Going into the fight last night, they were 3-3 because I think they fought six times in the amateurs or something like that. And they were 3-3, and now Ryan's up one. Now, does Haney want to get? Devin said he wanted to get his get back, so we'll see if that happens, and if, especially with both of them making weight this time as well, because Ryan was three and a half pounds overweight. But what's next for Devin? Does he go rematch against Ryan? Does he, you know, fight somebody else at one what is it, at 140? As of right now, I mean, he's still the champion because his belt wasn't on the line last night, just because Ryan didn't make weight. But at 147 or at 140, you still have Teofimo Lopez. You got Matias. You got Isak Cruz. You know, Pitbull. Does he want any of those fights? I know they were talking about Teofimo Lopez before the Ryan fight. Like, that could be his next fight. But after what we just saw against Ryan, because I don't think Devin fought his fight. I think Devin, he got too emotional, got too aggressive, and that led to Ryan being able to land those left hooks and dropping Devin a few times, you know, three times, and clocking him a couple times as well. But you know, but is he ready for Teofimo Lopez? And if he fights Teofimo Lopez, is he actually going to be on his game? Like, is he going to do what he needs to do? Not do what the crowd wants you to do or whatever, but fight your fight. That's what I think Devin needs to do. And I think that's what he needed to do against Ryan. Fight your fight. I get you want to be aggressive. You want to get the knockout. But when you search for the knockout, it usually leads to you getting knocked out. And granted, he didn't get knocked out. And I commend him for getting up every single time and, you know, fighting his way to regaining his equilibrium and getting back in there. But I don't think he fought his fight last night. And that's not an excuse. I mean, that's his fault. Like, that's what he did. He chose not to fight his fight. That's on him. But I don't know if he fights any of those guys. I don't know if he fights the Teofimo Lopez. So what's next for him? Does he stay at 140 or does he move up to 147? Or, like I said, does he fight one of those guys? I don't know if he does. That's left to be seen. Him and Bill have been saying, you know, calling for the rematch against Ryan. So we'll see if that actually happens. I think if that happens, though, it happens at 147. It doesn't happen at 140. And that could also be, I don't know. I mean, that could be a good fight. It could still be a really good fight again, especially if both make weight. And we'll see. We'll see. And I think Clarissa Shields even said last night that 140 might be tough for Devin. And, like, the punches at 140 hurt him because he's draining himself so much to make that weight. So that could be a real thing. It could really be a real thing. And I trust the boxes over what, you know, Twitter people say. I trust what the boxes, the actual boxes are saying versus what people are saying on Twitter, you know, the experts on Twitter are saying. So I'll take what Clarissa Shields said and Shakir Stevenson said over any, you know, whatever expert on Twitter. But yeah. Man, I mean, but that was a good, like I said, it was a good fight last night. It was very entertaining. And it's a great way to go into this next week, man, because it is draft week. We are officially on the clock. Well, we aren't, but, you know, the Bears are on the clock. You know, everybody that has listened to Drop Balls Podcast, y'all should know by now, I am a Colts fan. I know it's been a minute, but I'm a Colts fan. So, yeah, the Colts aren't on the clock right now. We pick 15. We still got some ways to go. But as of right now, the Bears are on the clock. It's draft week. It's draft week, baby. The NFL draft pops off on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I mean, I'm not going to spend much on this because I don't have a draft board. I just been looking at film, trying to figure out what I want the Colts to do. I'm looking forward to it because I always love the NFL draft. I always love seeing these kids go out there and get drafted, you know, making dreams reality. But also because I think this draft has so much talent in it, especially at the wide receiver. I think the running back room is talent. The running back class is very talented. But especially a receiver, I think cornerback is talented. And I think offensive line is crazy talented. Edge rushers, not so much. I think there's really like four. I think there's four and then there's a bit of a fall off. A lot of projects in the edge rushing class, besides, you know, the Jared versus the Dallas Turners, the Latus, and who's the other one? I think I still like Braylon Trice out of Washington. But I think outside of those four, and I mean, in Chop Robinson, he's cool, but I think he's a project as well. His get off is amazing. His get off, like his line, getting off the line is crazy. But he still has a lot of stuff to improve on before he can be considered, you know, one of those top prospects, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, outside of those four, I think it's a little bit of a fall off. And then you get into like the Chop Robinsons, the Jonah Ellis's, and you know, the Darius Robinsons, those kind of guys, which they could come into the league, develop nicely, and be premier edge rushers for the next 10 years. Who knows? You know, it's all about projection. It's all about what you see on film and how you can project that and how you can develop that talent as well. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, as for my Colts, this is where I'm at, right? We're at 15. I wouldn't be mad if we traded back. I wouldn't be mad if we stayed at 15. And I wouldn't be mad if we traded up. But there's a caveat to the trading up. I don't want to go above 8 or 9. Like, I would want to trade up to the 8 or 9 range. And I think that's where we could get like a Malik Nabers or a Romo Odunze in that 8 or 9 range, or maybe even a Dallas Turner if something happens. Maybe not a Dallas Turner, but the reason I say this is because Atlanta's at 8, I believe, and I think at 9 is the Chicago Bears. Then you have 10 with the Jets. But if there's something that happens where, let's say, right now the Titans are sitting at 7, let's say a team moves up from, you know, in between 11 and 14, and they move up to 7. The Titans take a slight trade back, and they go get an offensive lineman with that trade back or whatever. But they take a slight trade back, and then the team that jumps up, they go take Dallas Turner, right? They take Dallas Turner, and then now what does Atlanta do? Do they stay there at 8? Do they take a corner? Because I think Dallas Turner is the one for Atlanta. I think that's where he's going. But if somebody jumps up and takes him before Atlanta can get him, then what does Atlanta do? That's where I can see the Colts weaseling their way in and sneaking up to 8 and taking a Romo Odunze, taking a Malik Nabers, whoever it falls, like whichever one is there at 8 or 9, that's why I think the Colts could go up there and get him. I guess at 8 before the Bears pick, but I think the Colts could go up there and get him. But for me, like I said, I've said this the whole time on Twitter, I want a premier edge rusher. If we can get a Dallas Turner, a Latu, or a Jared Verse in the first round, I'm completely cool with that. And then in the second, you backdoor that with a receiver like a Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, what's the old boy from? I can't even think of his name right now. The boy from Oregon. If we could get him, damn, what's his name? Hold on. I gotta look it up because that's gonna bother me for real. Because it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful that I can't remember his name. I think he's going to be a good receiver. He just has to work on his hands. He got to work on his hands on the over the shoulder catches. He got to work on that. Looking the ball into his hands. Draft class 24. What is his name? What is old dude's name? Damn, I'm sorry, bro. Like I don't even mean no disrespect to it. Troy Franklin. That's his name. Troy Franklin. If we got Troy Franklin in the second, or maybe even if Adonai Mitchell drops down to the second, and we, you know, a slight trade up to from 46 to go get somebody like that, I wouldn't be mad, man. I wouldn't be mad because I do think, you know, some of those receivers would add some extra oomph to our receiving room. And it would also force Alec Pierce to kind of develop his game a little bit more. The big name is Brian Thomas Jr. if we were to stay at 15. Oh, and that was another thing. Like I said, I wouldn't mind if we traded back. Like, if we traded back from 15 to maybe like the 20, 23 range, I wouldn't be mad at that. It just depends on who was there at 15 that you decided to pass on or that we didn't need at that time, or and who's available at 20 to 23. Then it depends on that for me to really be okay with it, because I do understand we do need more draft capital. And I wouldn't be mad at that either. Like, getting more draft capital, maybe getting an extra third round or something, like a third rounder or something like that, that we could kind of use to maybe trade up a little bit higher in the second. You know, it's just different things like that. But like I said, it just depends on who was there at 15 that we passed on, that we could have taken, versus what we did, what we took at 22, 23. in that range. So for me, you know, I'm excited though. The draft, it finally puts things to rest. Like, to me, this will finally put things to rest as far as like what everybody's doing, because every up until now is a bunch of smoke screens, a bunch of who knows what, where you getting this information from, a bunch of speculation, bunch of everything. So as a, you know, with the draft coming up, is things will calm down a little bit. And I feel like you'll start getting more clarity as we get to Thursday. And, you know, things will go from there. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I'm definitely going to be more consistent. Like, I'm going to be more consistent with the podcast too, man. I'm going to be back. We're going to be getting things cracking on YouTube. I'm trying to get everything scheduled properly because, you know, we still do the Sports After Dark stuff. We got the Sports After Dark After Hours that we run on YouTube on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Make sure y'all check out Sports After Dark on YouTube. Also, then we have the Sports After Dark Twitter spaces that now we're running because the NBA playoffs are around. So now we're doing that on Twitter as well. So make sure you check that out as well. You know, shameless plug. But check that out as well on Twitter with the Sports After Dark Twitter page. But yeah, I mean, it's just been busy and hectic trying to figure out everything and get everything, you know, down right. Especially because my son's playing baseball now, so we got practices, got games. So it's just a matter of, you know, it was planning and scheduling and doing all of that. And life was life. And so, you know, we trying to get right, get everything starting to settle down, everything starting to get scheduled properly. And like I said, we're going to be back cracking. So we definitely going to be bringing you more content from Drop Balls Podcast and pushing the podcast. So make sure you subscribe, like, and share on YouTube. Go to Drop Balls Podcast on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell so you get the notifications. And no matter what podcast platform you listen to, be sure to subscribe to the Drop Balls Podcast on that platform. So that way you get notifications when I drop a new episode, because they're going to be coming. They're going to be coming, especially after this draft. Whatever the Colts end up doing after this draft, or whatever the Colts end up doing in this draft, I gotta put out an episode about that. Got to. And especially, you know, we need to go sign another safety. So especially if we go out there and get Quandre Diggs or Justin Simmons to be our starting safety, our vet safety out there to help our young guys, I'm definitely going to be dropping something about that. So be sure to tune in, keep tapping in. And listen, man, that's all I have for y'all. So, you know, I'm gonna let my guy VZ take y'all out. But until next time, y'all be easy. Peace. You see how I'm moving like Ray Lewis. I swear this is like a touchdown. 7-6.